Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Onto a boat for Libya. To cattle farmers, this is a vital part of our beef trade, an alternative outlet to deflated prices offered by factories. But to critics, these cattle are being cruelly sent into a war zone. To discuss this, I'm joined by Eddie Punch, General Secretary of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association, and by Caroline Rowley, founder of Ethical Farming Ireland. Eddie Punch, to you first of all, before we consider the journey, let's talk about the destination. Why are we sending cows to, well, what is effectively a war zone?
Well, even though there's political problems in Libya, people have to eat. And Libya is a country where, you know, it's mostly desert. They can't be self-sufficient in food. And, you know, I think it would be terrible if we were to say that we would refuse to send food and animals because that would cause mass starvation in Libya. So they have a demand for animal protein. And the question is, which country in Europe is best fitted to supply that in order to ensure that, notwithstanding the difficulty of war, that people are fed?
Caroline Rowley, we hardly want to visit starvation upon the people of Libya as well as war, do we?
No, not at all. But, you know, of course we can export beef. You know, we don't have to send them live animals. You know, they don't have the facilities to care for large numbers of cattle. That's why they don't have them there. You know, so to send them live animals is just absurd. You know, we should be exporting beef. There's, you know, obviously, we don't want them to starve, but there's no need to send them live animals.
Yeah. Why live? Why not processed? Why not add a little bit more value while they're here, Eddie?
The reality is that Irish farmers are really frustrated at the lack of competition for beef in the Irish market. And the live export market is absolutely vital to balancing the fact that currently we're only getting $3.70 a kilo for beef from Irish meat factories. That's way below the cost of production. And the live export business provides essential competition to try and keep Irish farmers in business. And the reality is that, you know, we have markets which actually want live animals. If we don't send them live animals, they're not going to buy beef. In fact, the reality is that they're not really geared up for handling large quantities of beef. They prefer to slaughter animals close to market there, and that's what the market's for. So, you know, if we don't do it, somebody else will. And we have a very good track record of live exports of animals to, you know, under very close standards. We have a statutory instrument which lays out 40 pages of standards for shipping cattle. And
all of which were devised and first introduced at a time when there wasn't a war in Libya. How can you guarantee any of those standards now?
The standards are governed by the Carriage of Livestock by Sea Regulations 2016, and there's 40 pages of regulations.
That's the journey
there.
Eddie, I'm talking about the destination and what happens when they get there.
Yeah, well, sure. Obviously, when cattle get there, they are destined to be slaughtered. So, you know, this is about feeding people in a war zone. And if we don't export cattle to them, somebody else will. And we need to feed people in a war zone. Otherwise, we are going to set up a humanitarian disaster out there. And, you know, it's important as well to note that there is no market for animals unless they are, you know, arrive in good condition. And that's what Irish farmers and Irish exporters work very hard to ensure.
Okay.
And that's why they want our cattle.
Caroline Rowley,
yes.
Now might not be the best time to tell the people of Libya that you've got to stop looking for live animals, you've got to start accepting already processed beef.
Okay, there's a few things that I'd like to say here. You know, first of all, you know, there's no justification for cruelty to animals. And, you know, like, the slaughter rate in Ireland is around 35,000 a week. Another couple of thousand here and there does nothing to affect the prices. You know, I've looked at live export volumes and I've looked at the factory prices. There's no correlation.
I know, but Eddie Punch is making the point that it is a dysfunctional market here in which farmers are price takers. They can't determine their own price at all. So they have no choice but to go and seek alternative outlets.
It doesn't impact it at all. You know, it's the volumes that go to Libya are so small. Last year it was 13,000 over the whole year. So, you know, it's not providing a much of a benefit to the farmers. The
but there is a much larger market to Turkey, isn't there, Eddie?
And you see, I mean, Caroline doesn't want any live exports anywhere. And last year in 2019, we had 300,000 total livestock exported live. To European markets. And, you know, without that live export trade, farmers would be absolutely at the mercy of a beef trade, which already, as I said, pays them, you know, substantially below the cost of production. And farmers should not be demonized in trying to supply markets that have to be supplied. Otherwise, there is a shortage of food in countries like Libya and Turkey. And in the case of Libya, it is clear that if there isn't exports to Libya, people out there will starve.
That's not true. And
you know, look, if Irish farmers don't supply the market, somebody else will. And look, I mean, the reality is that there's a very vociferous but tiny minority lobby out there, which is not only against live exports, it's against to Libya, it's against all live exports anywhere. And fundamentally, a lot of them are completely hostile to Irish agriculture, even though the standards of animal welfare in Irish farming are second to none. You need to have a look at...
Well, let Caroline come back in.
That's a very unfair comment. And, you know, my group specifically, I don't know what other groups might be referring to. You know, we're not against farmers. You know, I'm in a regenerative farming island group. I'm very much for high welfare farming systems that increase biodiversity and are sustainable. You know, I don't have anything against farmers, but I understand
play the ball here, Caroline. I mean, are there any circumstances under which you would allow live exports?
Live exports to Europe, aside from the unweaned calf, that's another matter. But, you know, exporting adult cattle to Europe.
But isn't it the case that it's actually more humane to put cattle on a boat where they have much more freedom of movement than to put them on a truck and travel them across Europe where they have much less movement?
No, because these animals die. You know, animals die during these journeys. On average, 5 animals died per shipment last year because they get respiratory illness and they slip in their own waste and break their limbs. So, you know, if it was high welfare, why would animals die and become ill and injured during the journey?
Eddie, is that true? 5 animals per shipment?
This just shows how little Caroline knows about agriculture. Animals are, you know, prone, just as humans, to respiratory illness, as we know only too well now. And when you have 5 animals out of 1,500 dying, that's not a sign of bad welfare. That's just a sign of, you know, the natural challenge.
Those animals wouldn't have died if they were in a field.
Yes, they would. Animals die in every form of agriculture, just as, and you know, it's a terrible thing to say, but people die in nursing homes, for example, from respiratory illness. And the fact that the track record of Irish farmers is actually better than you see in terms of, there's more people dying in Libyan hospitals than there are on the boats exporting animals to feed their children. So I'm not going to tolerate Irish farmers or Irish live exporters. Their track record in looking after animals is superb, but anybody who ever did farming knows that you can't possibly not have the occasional loss, because there are many, many illnesses that affect animals just in the wild as there are in agriculture. And the fact that only 5 animals would die out of 1,500 is actually a testament to the fact that they're really well looked after.
I can't vouch for that statistics of Eddie's, but Caroline, would you accept that Irish exporters, Irish beef exporters, have a better record here than anybody else?
The regulations, I would say, are slightly higher in Ireland, but the fact of the matter is animals still die. And to go back to a previous point, once these animals arrive in Libya and they're unloaded from the vessel, that's it as far as the department are concerned. Nobody knows what happens to these animals after that. You know, there's no documentation, there's no tracking, there's nothing to ensure their welfare.
Eddie Punch, is that the case? Final word to you.
We can't tell the Libyans what to do. The reality is we have 40 pages of regulations governing the shipping of animals, covering everything from ventilation to space to feeding. And when they're on the ship, the conditions they travel in are exactly the same as the conditions that they're housed in Ireland. And the Irish welfare rate for animals is an incredibly low rate of death. But of course, there is always deaths if you have hundreds of thousands of animals, and the small percentage of deaths.
Isn't it a fallacy to say that you can't tell the end user what you want to do? You can say, we're not going to sell to you unless you can guarantee X, Y and Z conditions.
But actually, the fact is that we are part of the OIE and so is Libya. And because we have live
exports
there...
What's the OIE?
It's the International Animal Health Organization.
They aren't an enforcement body.
And because we are part of that and so are Libya, the fact that we are exporting animals means we have a lot more influence in telling the Libyans how we want our animals treated out there. So actually, it helps to improve standards. But fact is that the Libyans want to feed their children, and of course they have a vested interest in looking after the animals as well.
All right, Eddie Punch and Caroline Rowley, that's unfortunately exactly where I'm going to have to leave it, but thank you both very much.